Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Here are the headlines before you head out today. The Braves made some changes yesterday. Former New York Mets pitching coach Jeremy Hefner will replace Rick Kranitz. Antoine Richardson will replace Tom Goodwin. And Braves also released Freddie Gonzalez and are exercising Chris Sale's $18 million option. Raiders travel to Denver tonight to take on the Broncos for Thursday night football. Hawks play tomorrow against the Raptors at home. Pregame is set for 7 right here on 92.9 The Game. And, of course, the Falcons head to Berlin to take on the Colts this weekend. Pregame with Mike and Bo is at 7:30, kickoff at 9:30. And today we are focused on their defense, guys, our offense. Falcons are 23rd in the league when it comes down to third down conversions, 15th in yards per game at almost 336 yards. Where within these matchups do you think some of our offense could pick up some momentum?
Matchups, I think that, and it's going to be interesting because I want to point to the run game and some of the things you can do with Bijan. I'm curious how they approach that in trying to get Bijan back rolling on the ground, because you didn't even really attempt to last week. We mentioned a couple times Charlie Warner played 5 snaps a week ago. It just wasn't even part of the game plan and the way that you were going about it. And now when you look at yards per game, Colts very, very good. They also have played from the lead a ton. And so I was looking up a couple of stats as far as, you know, Warren Sharp put a couple of different things out. Indianapolis games, just the total coming from their games, have 502 combined passing yards. It's the second most in the league. And Atlanta Falcons have combined average passing yards in their games of 377, which is 29th in the league. And it just kind of goes to show you where both of these offenses have been, but where both of these teams have been and where both of these defenses have been. When Indianapolis gets ahead, they are able to get you backed against the wall, force you into passing situations, and then rush the passer at a very high rate. And I think that's a little unnerving, especially when you add in the fact that I heard this stat yesterday too. Falcons are 0-5 in any game they've trailed in. Zero comebacks, period, at all, at any point. If you've trailed in a game, Falcons have not won. And so very important for the Falcons to get out ahead because of that stat, but also schematically what it allows you to do offensively to get that run game going and to start leaning on Bijan, Tyler Algier, possibly Charlie Warner, and different things that you do up front.
Second week in a row, you're playing a top 5 run defense. Last week, it was very obvious. Mike says that they didn't even try, and I there's truth to that. The reality is you didn't try because your goal was to come out, throw the football, and loosen the defense up and then run. But what happened was is you got behind. And so now it threw the numbers off. And it does look like you didn't try to, because you didn't. You didn't really attempt to run much, but that was what I felt like you were trying to do. To me, the game plan, and I think people overlook it sometimes. They just see, well, that's our bread and butter. Why are we not doing it? Well, I think you feel pretty good about your passing game too, you know, with Penix and with John and Drake and Darnell at times, and Kyle Pitts, that you feel you can take that to your advantage and let's use some of those guys. But you didn't. The score dictated it. That's why it's so important what Mike's saying, to get out to a lead or at least not fall behind early, because now the entire playbook is open. I want to see Bijan in space in the passing game. I want to see them get him, because they don't. I want to know who is covering Bijan Robinson. Kenny Moore, are you going to do it? Because I know Zaire Franklin and Jermaine Pratt, one of these linebackers, is not going to try to cover Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Now maybe with the addition of Sauce Gardner, they move one of these guys that's been on the outside into the nickel spot. I'm not sure what their goal is there. Maybe that's what they're going to do. They've been a very good defense, and they're, you know, what they're doing is all based on their stopping the run, and they're stopping the run, which is for is and they're playing with a lead, which is this force in your hand, as Mike said earlier, and then they're pinning their ears back, and guys like La Tu are having good days.
Yeah, I just think that there's a couple of caveats in there where if you can get the run game going. And to be fair, and I want to circle back to this because I talked about their pass rush, if they get our backs against the wall, they have not been good on third down on defense. And I think that bears mentioning. I think Dallas might be the only one worse than them as far as third down defense percentage. You know, I think they're giving up something like 45, 46, 47% of third downs.
Yeah, they're 29th.
Okay, I was going to say, I know you got the stat in front of you. It's and I can't really figure out why. Like, why have y'all been that bad on third down with all the pass rushers you do have? We just talked about La Tu having 2.5 sacks. Talked about DeForest Buckner. But you have been able to do different things on them on third down, which I think bodes well for us. And I would push back just a little bit too. Well, you were talking about you feel pretty good about the passing game. My concern about the passing game is this. Very rarely do we just hit wide open receivers or open receivers for that matter. Even on a Pitts catch, diving catch on the post or whatever it was going across the middle. Darnell Mooney comeback, diving catch towards the ground in between three defenders. Drake London's catches, jump balls, right? Things like that. I get, and it's one of the reasons I'm so hard on Zach Robinson. I think that Michael Penix and Drake and a lot of these guys have done things in the worst of circumstances.
Well,
and hopefully that bodes well for us being able to do it if we can get good circumstances this weekend.
That's one of those comments that has a caveat to it for me. Okay. Is, yeah, I feel good about the people in the passing game.
Yes.
I don't necessarily I agree with you. I don't feel good always about the routes. I've sat here and said it multiple times now. And it, you know, it's worth saying again for people that maybe didn't get to hear me is I want them to incorporate more routes that are going across in the middle of the field and having guys running away from defenders. Too much.
Couldn't agree more.
Too much do we go vertical or stop and come back, stop and turn, or just out here on the perimeter in what is considered a dump off or a screen type game. I really need guys with the ball in their hands on the go. Get them the ball on the move. Get Darnell running in the middle of the field away. Someone detailed this, how many shallow drag routes we've ran this year, but I can guarantee you it's under 20. It's probably under 10.
The amount of mesh concepts we've had in the middle of this offense, and let's just say you had Kyle Pitts chip on his way out and Darnell Mooney's running the shallow drag and you have a mesh concept right there in the middle. Can we just get that? And I brought this up the other day when we're watching film. Like three or four times you're in third down, third and 10, whatever it was last weekend, and we were so bad on third down, so I wanted to go watch the passing concepts. It's like three 15 to 18-yard routes, a couple of go routes, like an 18-yard comeback, and a check down to Kyle Pitts that goes absolutely nowhere. It's just maddening. I'm like, dude, that's what we went with on third and 10. And that's where we go.
I think you could see it's a really possibility that depending on how much Sauce Gardner plays, they could play more man this week. For two reasons. A, they've got what they feel is now an elite man corner, which I'm not disagreeing that he's a very, very, very good man corner. Also, that they see blood in the water. Chris Lindstrom plays. He's still banged up. Kyle Hinton is a backup. They might see blood in the water and say, we're going to bring more pressure and be willing to play more man. And what is the perfect route for man coverage is like a little shallow drag.
Yeah.
Because Wes, what's happening? The middle of the field is open, and
it gets run on us all the time. I can tell you that.
And you know this, Mike. You can explain it better than me. If you run the right route concept and you hit Darnell Mooney accurately on the run, he's going to be able to turn up field, and he's going to have 5 to 7 yards with his speed and his ability to make people miss. Then maybe turn it in even more.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of. I think he looks frustrated, and I'm starting to think that that's part of the reason why. Like, all of his routes are either go routes or comebacks. You know what I mean? Like, very rarely. Maybe a bench route here and there. And I do have to bring this name up, too, because we haven't talked about this guy this week. Travarius Ward has been on IR. I think he's eligible to come back this week. He's not even on the depth charts that we have in front of us because he's been on short-term IR. I think it was a concussion was the injury. He's a pretty good player in his own right. And all of a sudden, if you start getting him back in the mix along with Sauce, that's somebody that you could look at being an interesting combination, although I doubt that they would bring him back from short-term IR on a Germany trip, but we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, the travel would be a lot.
Be a lot, especially if you're coming off a concussion.
Yeah.
Probably not where you want to go.
We'll continue this conversation, but coming up next, the Braves did make some moves. We got to talk about this new regime, and we've got Thursday Night Football to preview. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass. He just reminded me we have AC/DC tickets today. We'll be giving out next hour. So if you're dying to go to that show, hang tight. We're going to go in the huddle in a moment, talk about Thursday Night Football. But we had a lot of Braves news yesterday.
I'm really, really excited about this. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going to let her get through it, but I'm stoked.
And I want to know how – I'm curious of how people – I'm curious about this as well, how people view it.
So Rick Kranitz, Freddie Gonzalez, Tom Goodwin, all out, bringing in pitching coach Jeremy Hefner and first base coach Antoine Richardson from the Mets.
Go ahead.
I loved Rick Kranitz, and I thought he was actually a phenomenal pitching coach. It showed in the product. But when I heard that, I wondered, and I haven't seen a lot. I had some things going on yesterday. I was kind of busy. I didn't get to see Twitter as much as I normally do. So I was curious what people thought about that, because that's the kind of move that I could see Braves fans being irritated about, letting go of Kranitz. And it was my immediate thought was, I bet people are going to be upset about that. However, they don't even realize that what they really wanted in a complete, clean kind of let's flip things over would have brought in just that. But since Weiss is the guy taking over, they're probably upset that they got rid of Kranitz. And it's also surprising that Weiss is kind of cleaning house.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the change everyone was kind of looking for, though. I mean, they stayed true and steady when it came to the manager with Walt Weiss, but now he's changing everything around, which I think is refreshing.
Let me just tell you how excited, because Bo knows that I've hammered this point since we've started this show. A few years ago, this was like one of the main points of contention I've had with the Braves over the last few years. Antoine Richardson, you mentioned, he's going to be the new first base coach. He's also the base running coach. If there's one thing I know about the New York Mets, so I looked it up, they run the bases very hard. Mm. They steal a lot of bases, 147 bases, fifth in the major leagues last year for the New York Mets in terms of stolen bases. The Braves were at 81. Yeah. I mean, think about that now. I have been so perplexed by the lack of ability for our team. And it's not that we have speedsters. Ronald Acuna did the 70 just a couple years ago. But outside of that, it's been dismal. When Ronald Acuna, and I don't know if he finished the season that way, when he got hurt a couple years ago, he was the team leader in stolen bases after he went out in May for the entire season.
Yeah.
We did not steal bases. We haven't stolen bases for a couple years. It was more aggressive this past season than it was the year before, but it's been abysmal for the most part over the last couple of seasons. Hiring Antoine Richardson into that role, it's not just the first base coach. Dude, base running, I'm telling you, the Mets were one of the best base running teams just in terms of aggression in the major leagues the last couple of years. When I saw his name pop up, let's freaking go.
And
I'm ready.
He also told the Mets to go stick it. They wanted him back, and he was like, not enough money. So they didn't meet his offer.
Wow.
And which is interesting. I'm not the guy that like, yeah, we took something for them, and because in the end of the day, he is a coach, and not that he doesn't bring something to it, but I mean, are you going to go snag one of their players now that maybe can hit and be a DH, Pete Alonso?
I'm curious what you want the polar bear.
Do I want him and that attitude that he kind of is? I'm not a huge fan of his personality, but I would take a guy that could do what he does. If you would take Kyle Schwarber here, then there's no reason why you wouldn't take Pete Alonso here. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'm a little bit jaded on that one because he just played for the Cubs.
Yeah, but they are very similar. They're both meatheads with attitudes who hit home runs. Sign me up.
So here's my question, though, because I've had people ask me about the DH spot, and, you know, obviously we know that Ozuna's situation. I don't know how much they're going to be willing to spend here on this. I have no feel about what they're going to want to do as far as that spot goes or in free agency period when it comes to this roster.
It sounds like they want to be in the top five in payroll. I'll say this real quick. I'm not so sure it wouldn't be a good thing for this team to have a meathead with an attitude come in the locker room. Just my two cents. It just add a little bit different dynamic to bring a little aggression to the locker room. We have it. We have some spirit. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think it would be a bad thing.
Kyle Schwarber's going to break the bank, though, right? Like, yeah. He's going to break the bank.
But he's so exciting to watch, and I hate to say that, but he is exciting to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He's going to hit a couple 480-foot taters over the course of the season. There's no doubt. I'm just curious. I can't envision that they want to pay him the money that he's going to be owed.
So I wanted to ask you this when Walt Weiss was announced, because when we were having injuries last season and guys were coming back, Mike, you were saying, like, I'm going to give them 4 weeks or so until I really judge what's going on here.
Yeah.
How long are you giving Walt?
Oh.
For everyone to gel, because now we've got this whole regime kind of clocking in. How long are you going to give him until?
Baseball is just so different.
I know.
I think that you have to get it done so much quicker in football. Like, I think I don't know what the average tenure is for baseball coaches, but it's way longer than NFL head coaches. And rightfully so, because I think coaching has so much more to do with the on-field product in football than it does in baseball. But I would say by mid-season, if you're floundering 10 games under, yeah, I'm going to have an issue. But if they're just at 500 waiting on a hot streak, I'm not going to look at Walt Weiss and be like, yep, your fault.
Yeah, how healthy they stay is a big deal, too. You get more time in baseball when health is an issue. I mean, the last 2 years, they've somehow they've made the playoffs one of the last 2 years, and they've had just detrimental injuries.
Well, I'm interested to see what happens this season. Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Speaking of the NFL, Cardinals put Kyler Murray on the IR. He's recovering from a foot injury that happened from week 5. Jacoby Brissett will be starting the next 4 weeks.
This is interesting because there was a controversy talk swirling after Brissett's played pretty well. And Marvin Harrison's played really well with Jacoby Brissett. He's had a coming out kind of party, so to speak, with him. And then randomly, Kyler Murray just puts Capone on the IR for 4 weeks. This screams, let's let the Brissett thing play out to where maybe he turns into what he's been, which is essentially an elite backup quarterback, kind of like the old Ryan Fitzpatrick type thing, where you give you 5 to 7good weeks,
magic,
and
yeah,
then it kind of fizzles out, and you turn into a pumpkin. And I think it feels like they're trying to let this play out long enough for Jacoby Brissett to turn into a pumpkin, and Kyler Murray comes back in and he's the starter, and there's no controversy.
You mean to tell me they want to milk the Brissett brilliance as long as they can?
Well, that and Jonathan Gannon's also trying to save his job, and he's trying to save his job, you know, because he's been there. This is, what, year 3 now, and they just really haven't done much. So he's kind of trying to show that he can win with competent quarterback play.
Yeah, don't you remember when he was hired and it was Kyler Murray was coming off the injury? But I think that Jonathan Gannon went to Kyler Murray's, like, Ring of Honor ceremony at Oklahoma or something along those lines, and it was a big deal because they're like, all right, he's going to ride with Kyler Murray even after the injury. Just all that aside, do you know how impressive it is that Jacoby Brissett has had the career he has had after his time, like, at Florida?
Yeah, and then NC State.
First and foremost, and then he transfers to NC State back when transferring wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. And then, goes
now
on.
Now all
to,
the kids are doing it.
Now all of them are doing it, and they're getting paid millions to do it. I mean, I just look at him, and I'm like, dude, good for you, man. You have really turned in. He's You brought up Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think of a guy like a Charlie Whitehurst or Matt Flynn. Like, that's one of the ones that they get, just backup quarterbacks that you knew were going to be prepared when they were put in the game.
I heard something about him. I think it was Arch was telling me, because Arch did some of his games, Mike, when he was at NC State. And he was like, he is such – everybody screams around that locker room how great of a leader he is.
Guarantee.
And now, yeah, so – Yeah, they had Jeff Driskel and Jacoby Brissett down in Gainesville, and it couldn't work out. Thanks, Will Muschamp.
Raiders travel to Denver tonight to take on the Broncos for Thursday night football. You can hear that here on 92.9 The Game starting at 7:30.
Didn't you just already hear how excited they are that they've got the Raiders tonight after the trade deadline and everything? Like, Thursday night football has always been one of those games that just feels like every year they cannot catch a break. You know, it was the year with the color rush where all the games were just abysmal.
Which
abysmal
felt like
abysmal football games. It was like, you know, let's just stash it on Thursday night NFL Network. Now it's Amazon, and you're like, Amazon's going, what the heck? What are we doing?
Let's make ugly uniform decisions and put ugly games on the field as well. Brock Bowers.
Let's go.
If I was looking on Underdog right now, I'd probably go and look at Brock Bowers and figure out what I wanted to – what he's going to go higher or lower on.
Highest point total of any fantasy player this year last week for Brock Bowers. I think it was 45. Insane numbers.
Well, coming up, Auburn and Notre Dame have agreed to a future home-and-home series. We'll cover that, and we've got them mic'd up.
What do No'Shawn Moreno, Tim Tebow, and John Parker Wilson all have in common? If you know the answer to that question, you're not going to want to miss this mic'd up coming up on the other side of the break.
If you don't, stay tuned on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
See ya. That was last weekend, Dylan. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, but you can always play Florida Georgia Line. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We do have a mic'd up coming up in a moment and AC/DC tickets next hour. But first, got to talk some college football because Auburn and Notre Dame have agreed to a home and home series in 2027 and 2028. 27 is South Bend and then 28 is Auburn. They've never played each other before.
That's so mind boggling to me. And this is kind of the same setup you had for Georgia. Just how long ago was that when they went up to South Bend? Not that long ago.
It was 2017. Was the first year of that they went up to South Bend because that was the opening weekend of NFL season, and it was like the state of Georgia took over.
That's right.
Because you're looking everywhere. I'm watching that game in Chicago.
Yep.
Before we played the Bears the night before, and it felt like we were in Athens, Mike.
That's crazy.
So
when I saw though that these teams have never played before, that doesn't even seem possible. That two teams like that, as storied as both those programs have been at times, have never faced off.
Not even in a bowl game.
I mean, not even in a bowl game. Like how I was sitting there thinking back. I don't know how to look this up. I'm not good with, you know, Googling and stats the way some of y'all are, and Mike Conti and everything else. But I would be curious to know, like, who's the team that Bama has not played that's like a Power Four team? You know, like, is there any of them out there that are Power Four teams that Bama hasn't played or that Georgia hasn't played? Doesn't seem like there would be another Power Four team that any of these schools have not played before.
Ooh.
I'm just waiting for him to start Googling.
I thought about it. I just want to, so bad
because I want to find out.
Someone will tweet us.
Somebody will let us know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, is there a team that Georgia has not played that's a Power Four team that you'd be like, man, that's crazy?
Well, you got to remember that some of the, for a while, these, the game has been regionaled off, you know, in regions, you know, for quite some time. Where you don't play games you're not going to travel. Nobody was traveling south. Nobody was traveling north to play. And you would meet in these bowl games. But remember this, these bowl games at one point, back when the Bowl Coalition or the Bowl Alliance was around, was all about the Big 12 winner played the, you know, it was always like an at-large or whatever, or an ACC team in, down in the Orange Bowl, and the SEC would go to the Sugar Bowl, and the Rose Bowl would be the Pac-10 and the Big Ten at the time.
Yep.
And so they didn't – and there wasn't 60 bowls, right?
Yeah.
And now the college football playoff has essentially force-fed people into – playing these out-of-conference games. And Notre Dame is a team that needs to do more of this than anybody.
I agree, and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a fun time to see those two face off in a couple years.
Well, and at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Rusty Mansell about Georgia at Mississippi State. But another game I want to get your take on is number 7 BYU at number 8 Texas Tech.
This is an interesting game for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I didn't think either one of these teams would be ranked in the college football playoff poll as high as they are. It's clear to me that they are giving a lot of credence to the Big 12, more so than they are the ACC, when you look at how the ACC
better conference.
It is, and this year I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially on a weekend where Florida State's playing Clemson in an unranked matchup that doesn't even seem real.
It just seems like aren't they still suing the ACC because they're too good for the ACC,
right?
And need more revenue sharing?
Yes, they're like, we got to get out of here.
How's that working out?
It is crazy, but BYU, man, is just one of those teams, true freshman starting quarterback, after the situation they've had, and he is playing lights out. And so I think they're exciting. Texas Tech, obviously, ton of talent they've brought into that program as well.
Joey McGuire at Texas Tech, he's a Texas high school coach, essentially. He's got Texas really locked down. All the coaches there. I was talking to Arch about him because Arch did a lot of Big 12 stuff. He's got a really good working relationship with the high schools. He's done a good job. I'm just curious. Texas Tech is just infused money in that program as of late. But I am curious if anybody gets all these openings and says, why isn't he on anybody's short list? And why aren't we talking to him? Because would he be willing to go to a LSU, an Auburn, where there's money as well, at these Florida, where there's money in these programs, Penn State?
Yeah, but
he's proven.
Money. We just talked about their money at Texas Tech.
I know. I understand that. But and again, I set it up to where I don't think he necessarily would leave. But my point is, why are you not at least calling him? Because he's proven if you give him resources, he can win. He can go into Texas and recruit, which used to be a lot more important than it is now. But he's still a guy that can win. If I'm Penn State, I'm like, hey, I mean, can we at least talk? I wouldn't leave Texas Tech for Penn State these days. Too cold.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't know. Have you ever been to Lubbock? It's not exactly a destination.
No, you would
want to sign up for.
No, but Penn State is a blue blood that I would love to have if I was a coach to say I could, you know, win a title there.
I think that my biggest takeaway from this game, and we'll move on, but I am just so curious to see whoever loses this game, how far they fall. Are they still in the top 10? Are they still in the top 12? Like that, and there's a number of interesting matchups down the stretch run in the Big 12 here where we're going to see a couple of these teams line up against one another that have been good throughout the season. So, be interesting.
Another game this weekend is number 3 Texas A&M at number 22 Missouri.
Missouri's lost their quarterbacks. I think they're going with a blue chip, 4-star prospect at quarterback. Didn't look awful when he came in last week. But Texas A&M's just, they're a snowball rolling downhill to me right now. I'd be curious to see. I don't know that they've seen an offense quite like this. But again, when you talk about a backup quarterback and a freshman coming in and being a part of that, it's going to be tough sledding against that defense.
Yeah, they got one of the best defensive linemen in the country as far as getting off the edge and making things happen. That's what I would be doing if I was Eli. Eli's looking, he's getting interviewed anyway.
He's stressed, isn't he? He's been stressed out a lot.
He didn't like
the college football playoff committee.
Well, he's a high-strung little guy.
He is a high-strung fella.
He might be wearing different colors here in a couple weeks anyway. So
I know that was when he was so upset about the college football playoff committee and where Missouri was ranked, and he it's like a moving target. I'm sitting there going, how upset are you? And how much would this sway your decision if you're like, man, we're just not getting the respect at Missouri? Might as well go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a name that continues to pop up at the LSUs and the Floridas and the Auburns and everything else going on.
Why do you think he made a big deal about it?
I'm just curious. Like, what is the financial backing of a place like Mizzou?
That's a really good question.
Are they rich at all? Like, where would they rank in the SEC?
It doesn't feel like it.
I agree.
But they have to be. They have to have some money because they've been consistently good for somebody. There was on ESPN, they were popping up, and I don't know if you remember this, but the 97 game between Nebraska and Mizzou when Mizzou was in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And the late drive where the ball gets kicked in the end zone, and I think the guy's name was McGriff, like dives for it and grabs it. It saved Nebraska's season. It ended up the reason why they were able to split that title with Michigan. But it was a really good game in Mizzou. Their stadium's going under renovation, so they've clearly got some money.
It looks good. The 2008 Big 12 championship between them and Oklahoma, Sam Bradford against Chase Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, some slugfest. We always watch that one, too. This is a weird stat. Chase Daniel and Greg McElroy were high school teammates. Greg McElroy only started 1 year because Chase Daniel was the starting quarterback at his high school for like 3 years. Interesting. But
that's,
yeah, nonetheless, those games that Missouri used to play against Oklahoma were always a lot of fun back when I was in school.
It will be interesting this weekend, this Saturday. Also, what you could do this Saturday from noon to 2 is hang out with me.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to be at Carriage Kia in Woodstock as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, other prizes. And then someone else gets tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, it's Saturday, noon to 2 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock.
And he's mic'd up, brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's third stations. All right, told you guys, what does Knowshon Moreno, Tim Tebow, and John Parker Wilson have in common? I'm going to get there in just a second. I'm going to see if Bo remembers these exact circumstances surrounding a couple of these. Knowshon Moreno takes a toss around the left side of the line of scrimmage in 2008 down in Baton Rouge against LSU. Do you remember what he did as he got to the end zone?
Well, I think so, because I know what one of these characters did already, and he probably did the sign.
Call me. Hey, yeah. Put the fingers up to the face. I don't remember. I know that Tim Tebow did this. I don't remember, and you can give more context. Tim Tebow also does the same signal, and I think his was the year earlier, in 2007. But I don't think Florida won that game. Georgia won handily in the Knowshon Moreno game.
So I'll try to make it quick, which is tough for me. But it's 2007. Florida's the defending national champion. That was the year LSU with two
eventually
losses.
Eventually did win the national championship.
It is like, and at that point in time, and it was in October, so they're either 1-2 or 1-4 or something like that. And they got Tim Tebow's cell phone. LSU's student. And they called him so much that he had to change his number.
Yep.
Like after like 10 hours.
Exactly right.
So that game was really good. If you remember, it's an overtime game. Jacob Hester runs for like 7 fourth down conversions.
It was the year that LSU won a national title, but they didn't lose. They lost two games, but neither one of them were in regulation. They were both overtime losses. I thought it was Kentucky.
I think it was Kentucky and Arkansas, actually.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay. And so the long story, Tebow, that was his Heisman year. He scores a touchdown. And because of that, he gives the call me sign to the student body, taunting them, which was, at that point in time, a little bit out of character, body moment for Tim Tebow, because all you knew was, oh, shucks, and, you know, John 3:16 and everything.
He's a sophomore at that point.
Yeah.
Coming off a national title. Chris Leak was the main quarterback. So that brings me down, and I don't remember, how long was Tim Tebow's run when he does that? I'm assuming it was a running touchdown.
I don't remember, like, but they were in the red
area. I remember it looked cool.
They were in the red area.
It looked cool. I know that. And I say all that to tell the story about the third guy in this ordeal, who was my teammate, John Parker Wilson, who obviously a good buddy of mine, still good buddies to this day, and he was our quarterback in 2008. Now, in 2008, bring yourself back into this mode. And again, I'm telling all these stories because Bama plays LSU this weekend. Doesn't, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't pack the luster that it once kind of did. In 2008, when we went down to Baton Rouge, it was Nick Saban's first trip back to Baton Rouge as the Alabama head coach. He wasn't well-liked. They were burning the effigies.
Ooh,
they were throwing eggs at the buses.
I remember this game.
Literally, we got there 2 hours before the game and kind of walked around the field with our headphones in and stuff. Student section was completely slammed, booing him, cussing him. I don't even think he went past the 50. He just turned around and went back. He was like, all right, cool. I kind of waved at him like, yeah, we see you. It is what it is. That game, we were ranked number one in the country for the first time of my career, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And it came right after the Michael Crabtree Texas Tech against Texas game the week before, where he scores that sideline touchdown. Texas loses. They're no longer the number one team in the country. And that we were like, oh, it's going to be us. So we go down to LSU, go down to Baton Rouge. Dude, I had a Thursday night class with John Parker Wilson. And he walks in. He goes, hey, man, can I borrow your phone? Can I borrow your phone for a second? I got to text Tyler, who is from here. She's now his wife, and they've been married a long time. But he's like, I got to text Tyler about something. And I was like, yeah, man, where's your phone? He goes, oh, it's right here. It's just not working. I said, oh, man, what's wrong with it? He goes, well, I think what happened is somebody got my phone number. And I was like, oh, well, can you try this? Can you try that? I'm giving all these workarounds. He's like, no, you don't understand. Turns it on, powers it up. Bzz, bzz, bzz,
oh, bzz, no. Bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Oh. I mean, just, and he's like, see, I can't even get to, he couldn't even get to the settings to like put it in like airplane mode at the time because it would not stop ringing. And I mean, I think that he something like 10,000 phone calls he got on that Thursday, ended up having to change his number and cut his phone off.
It's incredible how coordinated those efforts are.
Insane.
But I don't know. I've never been a part of something like that on either, even what you've been a part of. But there's, right. It almost feels like they get everybody together and go, all right, here's the number. At 8 o'clock, just start calling as much as you can nonstop.
Yep.
And it's the only way you can do it.
It's like a law of diminishing returns, though, because you're like at a certain point, they're just turning their phone off. And of course, it throws you for a loop. And he was the quarterback. Now, his celebration, that's why I asked how long Tebow's run was. Not nearly as cool as No'Shawn and Tebow, although I respected it. And it was for his career, it was spot on. He does a quarterback sneak. And of course, I'm playing guard at the time. And then he kind of stands up out of this pile. His hat's on crooked. You know what I mean? Like his chin strap's coming down. And he's like, I got to get this in there. And he throws the cell phone up. And I think he scored on two quarterback sneaks. We scored on a quarterback sneak in overtime that actually won that game in overtime. But yeah, his celebration, not nearly as cool with the phone, but he puts the phone up to his ear.
It felt like every run that Tebow had in college was cool because he hit somebody in every one of them.
Yeah.
It's just the way that offense exactly. was designed.
Exactly. It is funny, and I'll ask Allie this. Was that out of bounds? Because I look back on it, at the time I was peeved.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like so ridiculous. We're just college kids trying to play a football game.
Right.
And now I look back on it, and it's like in football lore. You know what I mean? Like, I think back on that No'Shawn, the Tebow thing. Like, right. It's a story we're telling 20 years later.
Right.
Was it out of bounds, though, at the time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you think it was all part of the gamesmanship, baby. She's like, I would have done the same thing.
I mean, well, I learned the other day that something being illegal doesn't mean it's cheating. So.
I knew it. Let me tell you something.
That is true.
I've been thinking about this so much
since we've had
that conversation.
I don't think anything has upset Allie on this show and however long she's been back with us other than me saying I don't have a – it's not cheating, but it's a penalty. It's not cheating.
Gamesmanship is the word we're all looking for. Gamesmanship.
I literally think it just threw her entire world off, like – just like I don't understand. I don't. She still can't fathom.
It tilted her axis a little bit.
Like illegal. Just like is in my mind. I'm such a rule follower. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, right. I mean, look. If I was to hold, does that mean I'm cheating? It's just illegal. It's just you throw the flag. It's not really cheating. You're trying.
So, do you think in the NBA when they let LeBron take 7 steps, he's a cheater?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Cheater!
I'm not even kidding. I went for a run yesterday, and this cheating, illegal terminology was in my brain for a full mile.
Man.
I was like, I gotta let this go.
Rent-free.
Have you talked to Grant about this?
No.
You should ask Grant about it. You know why? Because as a baseball man, I'm interested in his take on it.
He's like, when they frame pitches, that's probably not.
That's
not,
cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating.
I mean, you're lying.
Right.
When you get up and say, I called it, and the ball bounced off the ground. Are you not lying? Is that not cheating? But you're trying to sell it.
We are going to stay on college football. We've got the Rusty Mansell about to step in studio next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.